And our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. Listen now to Paul talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Holy wisdom, Holy Word. Thanks be to God. Well, let's activate the Holy Spirit within each of us. That means to embrace or charge up or ignite the power of the Spirit that each one of us has. And it's been given to the church and to all of us because we are the church. It isn't just a building. It's for all those who participate in the building up of the kingdom of God. That day of Pentecost was a day of activation and new birth, a day when the power of God descended upon the disciples and gave them gifts to spread God's message of love and the courage to go out and share it with everyone. Now, the spiritual gifts that were given that day to the disciples were gifts that promote unity within diversity, peace within chaos, and love where there is hate. Rather than make everyone the same and all of the people speak and understand the same language, God gave the spiritual ability to appreciate diversity and speak many languages, and allowed God's love to be understood by all. So let's activate that now. Let's use the power of the Spirit within us and learn to share God's love in some different languages. The main message of the gospel is God is love. And so in Spanish, God is love is Dios es amor. Say it after me. Dios es amor. Very good. And in French, it's Dieu est amour. So it's very similar. Dieu est amour. Yeah. My pronunciation isn't so good. But they always give you credit for trying. And in German, some of you may be able to say this better than me, but it's Gott ist De Liebe? Gott ist die Liebe. Okay, let's say it together. Gott ist die Liebe. And then in Swahili, what's wonderful about Swahili is that you pronounce almost every letter, so you can't usually get the pronunciation too off. It's Mungu ni upendo. Mungu ni upendo. And then in Korean, try this one. In Korean, It's sing un salong ida. Sing un salong ida. And then in Hawaiian, too bad Ray is not here because Ray Alden speaks Hawaiian very well. It's akua mea aloha. Akua mea aloha. And they too pronounce almost every letter. So see, you can do it. You activated your ability to speak several languages. And if all you can say is God is love in another language, that's good enough. God appreciates that very much. It's fun to learn other languages. And I have a friend who's a 2-star general in the Army, and he can speak 8 languages fluently. He was in special forces and had to go into other countries and pretend he was a citizen there. So some people really do have that gift of tongues, that gift of just their brains can really catch on to languages. But not all of us can do that. But it's still fun to try. And it would be easier if we all spoke the same language and had the same culture. Now, wouldn't it be easier, you think? Well, then there would be no misunderstandings, people think. But if we did have just one culture and one language, think about it. What language and what culture would you choose to have if the whole world had just one language and one culture? Think about it. Hawaiian, yeah. The most common language and culture in the world right now is Chinese. So if there was a world vote, I'm sure they would win the majority vote. Mandarin Chinese is spoken by over 1 billion people in the world right now. 1 billion people. And next, the most common language spoken, native language spoken, is Spanish. So that's a good reason to learn Spanish, too. And they say that in the next few years, about 50% of the United States will be Spanish speakers. And guess what is the fourth most common? Oh, English is the third. So English is at least number 3. And the fourth most common language, guess what it is?
Arab.
Right. Hindu. It's called Hindi, actually, when you're talking about the language. And that's thanks to the population of South Asia. But you speak Hindi, and you didn't even realize it. The words shampoo, jungle, and bungalow are Hindi words. So you can already speak Hindi. You can brag about that. And then think about it when it comes to food. The most favorite takeout food in the United Kingdom is what do you think? It's Indian food. They make fish and chips at home, but when it comes to takeout, the most common in the UK is Indian food. And the most favorite takeout food here in the US? Chinese and Italian. Yeah, it's tied. Pizza and Chinese food. Those are the two the United States loves the most. You can see we need diversity. I can't imagine, you know, not having it. All the languages spoken that first Pentecost day showed how God loves diversity. And can you imagine if we all in American culture grew up with the kind of food I grew up with, which was traditional kind of Irish Scottish food almost every day. Potatoes, meat, and corn. That was our staple almost every day. When we got exotic, we had spaghetti and meatballs. So it's really been fun for me to learn how to eat different kinds of food from different countries. Pentecost is a day when the Spirit helped the disciples appreciate differences too. The story of Pentecost helps us understand how God sees our differences. And diversity is one of God's greatest gifts to the world. It is everywhere, in all of creation. And diversity keeps happening because as things evolve, they become more diverse. Diversity makes us stronger and the world healthier. I don't know if you've been watching the specials on nature, but they've been talking a lot about us all having some Neanderthal in us, and it seems strange that humans, Homo sapiens, would have mixed with Neanderthals, but they said that actually helped our immune systems be stronger. So diversity and mixing together, too, is really important. God meets us in the messiness of different languages and the messiness of the world, and does not ask us to speak just one language except God's language, which is the language of love. God's love language appreciates diversity and uniqueness, and Pentecost is a reminder of that. God chooses to come to us as we are, speaking different languages, eating different foods, and living in different cultures. Now, the first disciples were accused of being drunk, and we all laughed about that because they said in 9 o'clock in the morning it couldn't happen. But not only they were thought of as being drunk because they were speaking in different languages, but because that meant that they were willing to reach out beyond their own language, beyond their own kind, which was not a common way of being in that era in Jerusalem. It was different to be willing to reach out beyond your natural borders. And so people typically stayed within their own faith at that time and within their own culture. But then after the spirit of fire arrived, the disciples were so happy speaking other languages, and that spiritual activation changed them so that they were able to seek out all kinds of people and take risks to embrace them with God's love. They were no longer hiding in upper rooms after Pentecost. The spiritual activation charged them up to seek out all kinds of people and take all kinds of risks to get God's message out around the world. They were no longer hiding, they were no longer afraid, but they courageously embraced the diversity of God's message of love, and they went to work spreading it near and far. And that is our job as disciples today, to embrace the gifts of the Spirit and to use them to spread God's love far and wide. Now, do you know what gifts of the Spirit you have been blessed with to use for God's work? Let's look at the gifts of the Spirit and see which ones you can activate. If you have your paper with you, you can look and see. It comes from Romans 12, 6 to 8, this specific spiritual gifts inventory, which reads, "We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and the compassionate in cheerfulness." So if you look at this form that I gave you, I spent a whole weekend one time doing a spiritual gifts retreat for National Presbyterian Church out in Washington, D.C. And this is a much shorter version of what we used. The one we used had 128 questions, and we went into a lot of detail over the weekend. But it's good to do this when you get home or in Bowen Hall afterwards during fellowship hour to see where your gifts lie. And the questions are made in a way that will help you discern what your spiritual gifts are. I think it's really important to just analyze yourself for a while and think about how God has blessed you. And your gifts do change over time. Your gifts do evolve as you age. So it's important to think, these are what you have maybe now, but in 10 or 15 years, you may even have more to add or may emphasize something more. So they're categorized as giving, administration, teaching, exhortation, mercy, prophecy, and serving. And so after you fill this out, if you want to meet with me and talk about it too, I'm glad to help you discern how the strengths that you come out with might be used here in the church or out in the community or in your own life in some way. Because it's really important to use these spiritual gifts while we have a chance in our lives. Pentecost holds the promise that God has something new in store for the whole church community. Pentecost is a time for renewal, for excitement, for energy, for movement, for new birth and fresh commitment to being sent out together into the world to do the work of God. As a church, we worship together, pray together, sing together, and we do all of these things with God's Spirit flowing through and around and in us to bind us together, but also to reach out to others who are not in this building with us. All of this makes us more aware of the Holy Spirit working in and through us as a church family. Jan Richardson, who wrote what's on the cover of your bulletin, I don't know if you've had time to read her amazing poem that she wrote. It's called What the Fire Gives. And so it's about the spiritual spirit being activated within us as spiritual gifts. And she wrote this encouraging us to remember that the journey to Pentecost began with ashes on our forehead, a symbol of the fire, and a reminder that all we are is dust, and to dust we shall return. When you think about the symbolism of cremation, too, many of us want to be cremated, and that all works in with the beginning of Ash Wednesday and now into Pentecost, too. These past months since Ash Wednesday have been a journey of knowing who God is in Jesus Christ, knowing what the mission of Jesus Christ is all about, and knowing how the Holy Spirit keeps us on the path that God intends for our lives. It is amazing that God uses us, who have been formed just from the dust of the earth, to do God's work in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Richardson says, "On the day of Pentecost, as the Spirit descends upon the gathered assembly, we see with dramatic clarity how the knowing that Christ gives us is not for ourselves alone. It is for the life of the community and the life of the world. On Pentecost, those who spoke in the Spirit did not recognize what they were saying, but they understood that they were to reach out to others and that the crowd could understand them. This shows that our knowing and understanding is incomplete without the presence of community. You know, you often hear people say, oh, I don't go to church, I'm spiritual, you know, individually. I have my own individual spiritual experience. Well, God created us to be in community. God created us to be a church family. God created us for social support. And scientifically, over and over again, when they analyze what it is that strengthens and enhances a person's immune system and mental health and longevity, it's the fact that they have found a support system like this to be in and to gather together in. And so that's why it's so important for you to invite others here, because you literally could be saving their life by having them come into church, or at least giving them, they say, an average of 7 more years for those who attend church regularly and get involved. It doesn't mean that you'll live longer if you just sit and then go home again and do nothing till next Sunday. It's the involvement and the participation and the activation that it does for you when you get involved that adds to your lifespan. And so that kind of detail has been worked out in the faith and health research that has come out. So you can think of us as dusty disciples made of common earth, fashioned just of ordinary matter. And we are called to humbly and to always work together and to know that we don't have all the answers, but what we can have is trust. To trust that God is leading us, and to know that God's design for creation is for us to embrace people who are different from us, and not just to look for those who eat the same, talk the same, and look the same. The story of Pentecost bids us to remember what the Spirit can do with dust. And Pentecost reminds us that the Spirit draws us together. This day challenges us, too, to open up ourselves beyond the limits of our individual lives to the Spirit who sets us free. ablaze and activates us for the purpose of healing the world. Amen.